Entering his kingdom. That's what I want to address this morning. And that should be what is in our heart, in our desire. That is what we're pressing in for. For we're told that the violent take it, and they take it, the kingdom, by force. And we press in and are pressing in to the kingdom of God, that kingdom that is soon to be visibly established upon the earth. And that, of course, is the ultimate purpose and plan. That is God's next plan now in his heart, is to establish his kingdom. And what we're now beginning to see visibly with our eyes as prophecy is being fulfilled, where it's foretold centuries back, we're now beginning to see the Spirit of God beginning to move, but also the powers of darkness, and we're beginning to see judgment that is falling on the Western world. And it's starting by the shaking of the economy, because the love of money is the root of all evil, and most of the corruptions that you hear of today, that you see, that is coming out of the banking world, that is coming out of commerce, is this greed, this lust for power, for money, and governments build their corruption upon it. And the Spirit is saying, enough is enough. But until Jesus returns and his feet stand upon the Mount of Olives, there is to be the final fulfillment, where Antichrist will go forth and will try to rebel against God, his authority, his divine headship. And for a season it might look as though he's got away with it. And finally the Lord will come and restore peace, the paradise conditions. We now enter in by faith. We now begin to experience, even in this life, what pertains to the kingdom of God. And we must remember that. And to enter the kingdom, we enter in the doorway through the church. The church is the doorway of entering into God's kingdom. And that is why, again, we were shown years back the deeper life in the Spirit. And we were shown that the deeper life is a doorway. And that doorway is that you enter in and you can go as deep and as far as you like. But what is that doorway? Well, it's the doorway into the kingdom. And so to enter the kingdom, to be part of the kingdom, to be kingdom-minded, you have to experience the kingdom. Its message, its teaching, what is there, what is pertained now here on earth. And this is why we begin to enter into our inheritance. What God has promised and decreed even before the foundation of the world. But how the enemy tries to get in and block that and hinder you. He tries to take your eyes away from the vision of the kingdom and what is in the kingdom. And again, I want us to see this morning, and the Holy Spirit wants to remind us just what is there. Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, or in the heavenlies. Thy kingdom come, thine is done on earth what is in heaven. And Jesus came revealing the Father's heart, revealing the kingdom message. Jesus came at the first advent to establish the kingdom of God. But they rejected the kingdom. They rejected God's ways. They rejected the fact that Jesus came in humility, divested himself, came as a slave, as a servant. He was revealing the aspects of the kingdom. He was revealing that in the kingdom we all love and serve one another. And God was coming in flesh to reveal that that is the attitude, the mind, the spirit, and the heart of the kingdom. But they didn't want that. They wanted a political leader. In fact, I've shown you in Scripture that they wanted to take him away by force and make him king. Why? Because they wanted to reveal to the rest of the nations that they are God's chosen, they are the powerful, and they are the ones. And God was not about to let a kingdom be established by pride, by power, by force. That is not the kingdom of God. And so it was put to one side. But simply because it was put to one side, all that was put to one side was the fact that Jesus would one day come to rule and reign. But its demonstration, its revelation, he didn't put to one side, and retains and keeps that with the remnant. And you are part of that remnant. You are here today because Israel failed that ministry. And I have said all along that that ministry, the fulfillment of it, must be completed. And he will complete it through a revelation he gives to the church, to the woman, to the overcomers, to fulfill and complete that mission that the church was to have. And we know that through certainly the second century, the spirit, the baptismal experience began to diminish and go. And so no longer was there the power and revelation and understanding of fulfilling what Israel failed to do. And by the third century, it was a mess. Denominationalism setting in, witchcraft, control, religion, the lot. Has God changed his plan? Has he changed his mind? Of course he hasn't. And that's why he keeps you and I with it, through thick and thin. Because it will be fulfilled. Simply because the word of God has gone forth. It has gone forth. And that whenever God's word goes forth, it cannot return to him void. And so we are now entering in to his kingdom. And the overcomers are being prepared in this life for the kingdom of God. We know that because Jesus gave that. I'm going to give it very briefly, quickly. In the Beatitudes, on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. So he shows the nature of that kingdom. It is not a kingdom that comes in force, in power, and in control. It is not a kingdom that's communistic, like earthly kingdoms are, where man tries to control, to dominate, and the factor behind it very often is money, pride. No, that is not the kingdom. So he says, if you are to experience the kingdom and what pertains in the kingdom, I'm going to bring the cross in your life. Because the cross will work that spirit, that heart, to serve, to love, to prefer others to yourself. The cross will outwardly display that poorness of spirit. Not a poverty where you deny yourself and that is a sign of your spirituality. That isn't what we're saying. The Bible reveals it's that denial of self, where the self wants its own way. The self is going to scheme and plan and manipulate. Know all of those things, he says, you die to. You die to that because you are pressing in to the kingdom, and that can never be found in the kingdom of God. And any who have that will never enter into it, Paul tells us. Paul clearly shows those who will enter into the kingdom and those who will not. John the Baptist, he too had sight of the kingdom of God. All these great saints had sight of God's kingdom to be established in Matthew 11, where he sends out messengers. He's now imprisoned. And even he wants to make sure that this is the man that he hears about. This is the man some almost 3 years back that he baptized. And he now just wants this confirmation. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And so they departed and they told him, so on. What was John the Baptist saying to them to go and tell? "I am preaching the kingdom of God." And so Jesus was confirming he was the Messiah, and the message that John had preached is the very same message he is preaching, confirming it. That you haven't got it wrong, I am the one. Take comfort. And notice what he says here. Jesus didn't say, "Go and tell him, well, I am the Son of God. I am God incarnate in flesh. And I'm going around doing good works. I'm going around pleasing the people." No, he didn't say that at all. Notice the authority in which he speaks. And that same authority is the authority that God gives to the church as well. No, this is what he says. Again, I'm just going to remind you. The blind see. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. Deaf hear. Dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Well, you might say to yourself, well, that doesn't really apply to us today. After all, most, if they're blind, can get operated on. Many, if they're lame and walk, there are operations that are available and can help them to a certain extent. Leprosy, the leper's cleansed. Well, we don't have leprosy today. We have antibiotics can deal with it. The deaf, leper's cleansed, the deaf here. Well, we've got operations now which are pretty successful. Hearing aids, we've got the lot. The dead are raised up. Ah, you've got us on that one. We can't still raise the dead. See, God's always one step ahead from man. And the poor hear the gospel. Well, we're not poor. Our economy is good. We're wealthy. Well, of course, that's changing now, isn't it? We hear. God knows how he's doing it. He knows how to do it. And so that is what Jesus said, "Go and tell John." What was he revealing? He was revealing what pertains to the kingdom of God. And he said, "I will have a remnant who will enter into that experience and that power and that anointing." That is why Jesus, when giving the Great Commission, commissioned the church to go out to lay hands upon the sick, to raise the dead, and to cast out demons, to preach the good news of the gospel. That Great Commission doesn't change. Sadly, it's been corrupted, but it doesn't change, and it is still valid. And unless these Great Commissions are seen in the light of the kingdom message, repent for the kingdom is nigh unto you, it will never have that power. And very sadly, the Great Commission is mixed with denominationalism. Go and preach the kingdom message so that our church can get bigger. and that seats can be filled. Make them an Anglican. Make them a Catholic. Make them a Baptist, Presbyterian. You name it. But that isn't the message, that isn't the great commission that Jesus gave. Not at all. So you can see it's corruption. And Satan knows exactly what he's doing, because he then can make it powerless. See? Becomes defiled. Well, God is restoring all these things. This very hour, this very moment. And so, here it is. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom. In other words, he says, as you seek first, so fear, anxiety, unbelief has to be removed. You cannot seek first the kingdom of God and hold on to anxiety, fear, unbelief, sin, all those things that fetter us. If you stay with the kingdom, if you stay seeking it and putting it first, then you're in for deliverance. Because the Spirit is going to move anything that hinders you from fulfilling God's purpose and desire in seeking first that kingdom. And that's why you get these deliverances, these changes. You see? But you have to settle that. You have to want that. That's called discipleship. And so as you've determined that, you've settled that, your eyes are set upon the kingdom and nothing else, then God takes over. Why? Because you're entering into it now by faith. And so to enter into that kingdom, you have to experience what is in the kingdom. And I've said to you many times, is bondage in the kingdom? No. Is sickness in the kingdom? No. Is fear in the kingdom? No. Is torment, anxiety, confusion, all those things that the world's held by, is that in the kingdom of God? No. Is Satan in the kingdom of God? No. So where is he? Under your feet. We're so foolish at times, aren't we? We so lose sight so quickly of what has been given to us and for those who enter. And that is why I have said and say that the church is the doorway into this. If you want to press in as an overcomer, then the church, fellowship, unity, oneness, coming under the headship of Christ, is that doorway that prepares you to enter and to get ready for what God has for you. And so the next great event, as we know, is going to be the rapture, the catching away, the overcomers, the sons of God that are present hid in the womb, being prepared. But you have to go through that doorway if you want to experience that, because it's a revelation. And God, to ever show you anything, it takes revelation. Christianity is a religion, quote unquote, when I put it in that context, that is based on revelation, unlike any other. It is a false revelation. And a false revelation, you can always discern it, because man is trying to get to God. The revelation of Christianity and Judaism, in that sense, is that God reveals himself to you. That makes a vast difference. And that's what you test. That's where you test the spirits. 1 John 4:1. You test the spirit. What revelation is in operation? That's what you have to test. And I've been teaching you for years how you test these things. You test the spirits. So what in this life then should we receive? Or what should we expect with regard to God's kingdom? I've already said that we take it by faith, by force. It's a present possession now. It's being fulfilled. It's a walking into, as well as being into it legally by faith, which Christ has gone before to prepare the way. So what should we expect now? What should we expect today, now, this very moment, where we sit in our seat? What are we expecting? What are we believing? Well, this is what God wants to bring out this morning. He wants to bless you, and he wants to show you what he has promised, what he has said. Well, obviously, with the kingdom of God comes forgiveness, salvation. And so you have to be forgiven. You have to be made new, that new creation in Christ. So that's the start. That reveals to us in this life that forgiveness, which enables me to now enter into his kingdom. And if I've received that forgiveness, not only am I forgiven, but I also have certain other things that are confirmed to me. I now have a peace in my heart that I didn't have before. Because that peace is to be found in God's kingdom, not war or strife. I've now beginning to get a relationship with God. And that relationship draws me closer to him. I talk to him and he talks to me. Exactly again what happens and will happen in the kingdom of God. When God will be all and in all. There'll be perfect harmony, fellowship, communication. But you can receive some of that even now in this life. And then if you've received the kingdom by faith, then there's the receiving of his anointed word. Because if he draws you into his kingdom, he has to feed you to keep you alive. And so he does it by the word of God. And you receive once, twice a week, this anointed word, this seed, this bread, this manna that keeps you alive, that sustains you and keeps you, because that is to be found in the kingdom of God. That is why we're told, aren't we, that when we enter into the marriage feast and we enter into that kingdom, there's going to be a great spread put upon that table. That's what's in the kingdom of God. God isn't mean. He's got the very best for you. The best quality of food that is possible is for his people. And so we now enter into that now by faith. But you first and foremost have to partake of that food spiritually. That bread, that manna, to be kept alive. And then another experience is that you experience that divine headship, which God is now restoring. And so in the kingdom of God, there is a divine order. And so he sets that divine order now in the church. Christ head, and then under Christ is the man, and under the man is the woman and the children. That divine headship, that is what is there in the kingdom of God, if you want it. Why? Because you must have order. Any kingdom must have order. Governments try to sustain and keep an order as you've got anarchy. And so there has to be a divine order kept in the house of God. And so what order is kept in check, whatever God's working out in the church, he's revealing, that's what pertains in the kingdom. That's what you owe. That's what you have now. That is what is in you now by faith. And he's working that out. So that when we finally enter that kingdom, it won't take us by shock. Because we've already been prepared for the kingdom. And it's coming. And then there comes the healing and deliverance. Because God says there's no sickness in the kingdom of God. And no sickness, oppression, can stand in the presence of Jesus. And if we believe that Jesus is here this morning in his fullness, then it cannot stand in his presence. And that is why we hold on to divine healing. We believe in the expulsion of demons, oppression. Exactly the same as Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then we have that fellowship. And that fellowship is that we have with one another, the word koinonia. And so as we love one another, we bear one with another, we support the weak and so on, what we've heard over and over again in Scripture, that fellowship is showing that we have that fellowship and harmony with each other in heaven. So if we have that fellowship with God, that means we'll have that fellowship with each other. Because God can well assure you there isn't going to be any falling out in heaven. None whatsoever. There's going to be no personality clashes, no gossip, no unforgiveness, resentment, anger, none whatsoever. So he begins to work it out, doesn't he, in the house of God. And he's doing it. We then see with the kingdom message that there is a training of ministry. And so it's a schooling also. And you are being trained for the future. You are being trained, each of you, to minister. Because the body of Christ is to minister. And each one in the body has a ministry. Some are now displaying that ministry. Some are being prepared for that ministry. Some exercise that ministry in diverse ways, in different ways. Because in the kingdom of God, you're not all going to sit around forever on a cloud strumming a harp. I'm sorry, but that wouldn't appeal to me, to be honest. I know some, oh, I'd love to strum that harp all day long and sit on those cotton wool clouds. That would bore me. Truly. Some of you might find that's bliss. No. I want to be active in the kingdom of God. I want to continue to do those things that are pleasing unto my Lord and Saviour. I want to learn what is in the kingdom. I want to learn more about God. And so the overcomers have got a tenacity in them. They've got something that's in them that's going to take everything that God's showing. They have a Jacob spirit. But God had to work that spirit out for his glory. But there was a tenacity in taking the birthright. And there's something within the sons of God, the overcomers, that's going to take what the church is giving up and gives over. Well, if she doesn't want it, I'll have it. Because God works in you a desperation. And that desperation humbles you. In our flesh, man doesn't like to be desperate. Because to be made desperate outwardly appears very humiliating. But when you grasp it in the spirit, it's a different thing. And so that tenacity is there. Yes, you may have been a rum one. Yes, religious world will say, well, who do you think you are? You're the last person who should ever receive that. Well, let them think what they think. But God's ways are not man's ways. You see? And that's why the invitations have gone out. They've gone out and they've come back. Can't make it tonight. No, we've got family coming. No, I've had a busy week this week and so on. So the Lord says, right, send them out to the poor. Send it wherever they are. Send out those invites to the highways and the byways. And in they come. And in they come. And they come because they see that others who really should receive them, should enter in, are not. And so they say, well, give it to me, I'll have it. I'm in need. I could do with it. And so God says, bring them in. And that's precisely what's happening now. Bring them in. I'll show them the kingdom. I'll show them my kingdom. I'll let them have a taste of it. They can be blessed even in this life. And that is precisely what is happening right now, this very hour, this very moment. That is what we see spiritually is happening in our midst. And how it upsets the religious people. How it riles them. Because they boast that their church is the only church that will get you into the kingdom of God. And it all stems from Catholicism. Every denomination, you can trace its roots back and you'll find it goes back to Catholicism. Because it's the harlot. It's harlotry in nature. So here we are. Here's this entering into the kingdom of God. And so there's deliverance, healing, there's fellowship, there's all training for ministry. We also find with the kingdom of God, there's prayers and intercessions. Why do I say that? Because in the kingdom of God, at present, our high priest Jesus is there interceding. And so what he says, if I am doing this, then you do it as well. And so what pertains to the kingdom of God is that my house is a house of prayer. And you get a revelation of that, and you want to partake in that. You want your prayers to be with the rest of the saints, because that is what goes on in the kingdom of God. And so a praying church, an interceding church, will be able to stand, to press through, to birth through healing, deliverance, to birth through all the blessings that are in the kingdom of God. That is why Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And that is why he lost his temper with the money lenders and those corrupting it, and he got them out. He says he got a whip to them. The Son of God. He had a righteous anger. Do you know why he was displaying that? Because he said that defilement that you are doing will stop the revelation and the experience of my church experiencing the kingdom and the kingdom message. Because prayer is the key. I know it sounds terribly unscriptural what I'm saying and very untheological, but prayer is the key that unlocks the revelation of the kingdom. You don't get in any other way. And that's why I've left prayer to the end. Because all that I have spoken about can and will only ever be achieved and experienced by saints who pray. That is why I say to you, never criticize the forefathers who have walked in the past. Some who have given their lives up for the gospel. You are here today because of their prayers and intercessions retaining, holding the message of the kingdom of God. Satan knows exactly where to attack. So we're here today because they saw it afar off, which Hebrews tells us. And they stood with it, they remained with it, they interceded, they prayed for the church, they prayed for the weak members, they prayed for the ministry, they prayed for the sicknesses, the oppressions, everything that we know we go through on our trials and tests. They interceded, they prayed, they stayed with it. Because that's what pertains for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will manifestly be seen when Jesus returns, because of the prayers, the calling out for Jesus to come and save, to redeem, to restore. It comes by prayer. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray for the Jews, because that is where Jesus is coming to establish this, his kingdom. If he was going to establish it in London, then we'd be praying for London. And that we wouldn't lose Big Ben. But that's not the case. It's the Mount of Olives. And that's why we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for God's remnant that he will restore. We're praying thy kingdom come. That is why Jesus taught them prayer. And right in the midst of that prayer, right at the beginning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He said, prayer is the key to this. He said to the disciples that night when Jesus was going to be betrayed, he said, prayer is the key to this. But they fell asleep. They had to be restored back. They had to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say to you, for this church to make it through, prayer is the key to this. As we have no hope. What we have seen today in God touching, displaying his power, has come as a result of prayer. This word, if you believe this today, has come as a result of prayer. Intercession. Now is not the time to give up in praying. Prayer presses in. Prayer will take it by force if need be. Prayer doesn't give up because it's the key to it. It's what keeps a church standing to endure until the Lord comes. You see? And that's why we have a parable of 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. I can tell you what happened to the 5 foolish. They lost sight of prayer. Was their problem. You see. Satan knows where to attack. As I say, he's not stupid. And so this is all this training. And the kingdom of God, if it's a church of prayer and intercession, then they know experientially this authority and power over darkness, over the enemy. You can talk as much as you like, but if you are a man or woman of prayer, and you pray with the church, you experience that power and authority over the powers of darkness. And that's why we hear what the Spirit is saying today, now, to the church. That is why, praise God, you are never taught a message that's been used, that's been regurgitated. Messages in that sense, years back. You're not fed on past revivals. Let's pray for that same revival again, Lord, in this village, in this town or this area. You're not fed any of that. You're fed something far bigger, far greater, by God's mercy. You're seeing a message that is going to change the whole entire world, planet. I don't think you can get any message and revelation bigger than that. That is what you're being trained for. That is what you are destined for. A worldwide ministry. Being restored, brought back to Christ. And so, you can probably add to this. I may have missed some things out, but I only give what I believe the Holy Spirit shows to me, what pertains in entering into his kingdom. And so, your walk, your sitting here today is not in vain. Whatever your trials, whatever your circumstances, is not in vain. God's got it all completely under control. And God has a remnant he's going to, in his mercy and grace, bring in to his kingdom. How he does that? Well, that's in his way, in his time. And for some who rebel against that kingdom message, it's going to be for a season a rough old ride. But that's the mercy and grace of God. We have to accept that God's ways are not our ways, in the way he works, in the way he brings us to that place of healing, deliverance, the salvation of our loved ones, you name whatever it is. It's sometimes a very rough old road, but you hold in there because there are clear signs God is working. In actual fact, I'd say you ought to be a bit concerned if something's not happening. If it's all smooth riding and it's all peace and everything is fine and hunky-dory, I would be a little bit concerned. But when things suddenly begin to go from bad to worse, there are clear signs that Satan fears, because God has heard your prayers. Your faith is there. Faith is active. Now, we may have peace for a season. Praise God if you are. But don't rely on it. Don't rely on it. Because it will change. Because that are clear signs of our prayers having been answered in Jesus' name. And there is faith present. And that is why there's the battle. That is why there's the ways the enemy works. And I know one of the big ways the enemy works and has been working with this church is despondency. Apathy. I know that's a big area on and off Satan tries to attack with this church. How do I know it? Because he tries it with me. He tries it with me, and then you sort of suddenly wake up and think, now, hang on a minute. Why am I attacked this way? Why is this so negative? And you begin to realise it's the enemy at work. The enemy fears you far more than ever you should even fear him. Not that you should, but he fears. He fears this message. He fears because you are entering into God's kingdom. You not only have it legally by faith in Jesus' name, but you're actually experiencing it now. And this church must move in to much more of the experiential side that pertains to the kingdom. And I've given you some of what's there. Maybe there are some areas that you're not merely fully experiencing. Well, now is a time in which you can turn to God and begin to mean business. And I want to experience that. But you have to want the kingdom. I can't make you want the kingdom. That has to be in your heart. That tenacity, that desire, that pressing in, not taking a no for an answer, that has to be divinely given to you by the Holy Spirit. And if you've got that, then what I have said to you this morning, you can't help but say amen to it. You see? Because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Is your family going to like this? Of course they're not. Is your employer at work going to like this? No. Is your neighbour going to like this? No. Is the enemy going to like this? Certainly not. So we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised because God is establishing all of this even now where you sit. Amen.